It's week 13. We've only got 2 weeks left of the 2025 college football season. So screw it. Why don't we do 19 more games on today's show? Welcome in. Winning Cures Everything. It's a college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on the socials. And of course, most active on X. You can reach out to me over there, or you can do it the old school way, Gary@winningcureseverything.com, if you want to tell me about anything. You want to ask me a question, you can do that. You can also become a member at buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. You can reach out to me that way as well, and I will certainly be responding to those first. It's $5 a month, $50 for the year, and we got a good community going over there. We've got some interesting games, if not great games, going on this weekend. So let's not waste a bunch of time. We got 19 games to discuss. We're going to go quick. Let's get to game number one. All right, we start off Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Central Time, God's time zone, on Fox. Rutgers going to Ohio State. Ohio State currently a 31.5-point favorite at home. 55.5 is our total. My projected stat spread has Ohio State by 30.78. Last 4 weeks has Ohio State by 29. My power rating has Ohio State by a little less than 24 points. So, looking at the projected stats spread here, this is a do-you-want-to-name-your-score game. It opened at 32.5. It's down to 31.5. Rutgers, their offense has at least been really good. Ohio State's offense can do whatever they want to. They're number two in PPA per drive. Rutgers, their offense is number 26 in PPA per drive. Not great at running the football, but they are pretty good passing it. The issue there is that Ohio State's secondary is really good. Like, really good. Number one in passing explosiveness allowed. They are number one in yards allowed per attempt, number seven in PPA allowed per pass. And the weakness is they're number 35 in havoc rate, which means they're not elite at getting after the quarterback. They're not elite at causing turnovers and whatnot. But, you know, Rutgers is number 82 in havoc allowed. It doesn't matter here. This is kind of a joke. You can name your score. I don't think Ohio State cares about this game at all. They've got Michigan next week. I think Rutgers can put up at least some points. Ohio State should get a big lead and then coast in the second half. I don't expect them to keep their foot on the gas the entire time. And if they're not already thinking about Michigan, that would be a problem. So in this one, I'm going to take Rutgers plus the 31.5 on that. All right, let's move to game number two. This one to the ACC, 11 a.m. Central Time on ESPN, and the Hurricanes, currently number 13 in the CFP rankings, not too shabby. Miami, a 17.5-point road favorite, total of 48.5. Of course, Virginia Tech just announced that they have hired James Franklin, formerly of Penn State, to be their new head coach. This one opened at Miami minus 16.5. My projected stat spread has them favored by 20.57. My power rating has Miami by 17. And the last 4 weeks' numbers has Miami by 20.5. So, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Looking at the spread numbers, Virginia Tech 1-5 against the spread at home so far this season, minus 10.8. Miami has only played two road games. They are minus 6, but they are 1-1 against the spread. This is the spot where you have got to put your foot on the gas. Miami has to impress voters. They've got to get back up there to where they are being compared with, you know, a team like Notre Dame, who they beat already. The defense is fantastic. Virginia Tech is number 129 in takeaways per game. The thing that has killed Miami in their two losses has been Carson Beck turnovers. I don't anticipate that this time. I think they're going to come out hair on fire. The defense, I believe, is going to play well. They're number 8 in defensive success rate, number 4 in defensive PPA allowed per drive. That's predicted points added. As far as points per scoring opportunity, Miami's defense is number 8. Virginia Tech's offense is number 60. And on the other side, Miami's offense, number 19. Virginia Tech, number 128. So Virginia Tech can't stop them from finishing drives either. This one could get ugly. I wish it was still at 17, but I think motivation is certainly on the Canes' side. So I will take Miami minus 17 and a half. All right, carrying on, we move to the Big Ten again. And this is a fun game, just a very, very interesting game. Minnesota heads to Northwestern, this one on the Big Ten Network, 11 a.m. Central Time. Northwestern currently a 3.5-point home favorite, total of 40.5. It took them 5 turnovers. They were plus 5 in the turnover department against Michigan last week just to be able to stay in that game, and they still lost at the horn on a field goal. But I still think this Northwestern team is okay, right? The defense is not great. The offense is not great. They're pretty good at running the football, which is what Minnesota defends best. On the other side, Minnesota not really good at anything on offense. They do like to throw it a lot. Number 27 in pass rate, but they're not good at it. They're number 116 in yards per attempt, number 106 in QBR. Well, in those metrics, Northwestern's defense is number 64 in yards allowed per attempt, number 45 in QBR allowed. They're number 56 in passing explosiveness allowed. These are two teams that play really hard. They are super disciplined. Both are inside the top 5 in penalties per game. Northwestern number 66 in turnover margin, Minnesota number 38, but they're good at different things. Northwestern number 43 in takeaways per game. Minnesota number 8 in giveaways per game. Northwestern number 96 in giveaways per game. Minnesota number 85 in takeaways per game. Who can finish drives? That's the question. Minnesota 66th in points per scoring opportunity on offense. Northwestern's defense is number 26. Northwestern's offense, number 124 in points per scoring opportunity. Minnesota's defense is number 94. So, who is going to be able to finish the drives here? I'm not totally sure. And let's look at which team plays better at home versus on the road, etc. Minnesota 0-4 against the spread on the road, minus 16. Northwestern 5-1 against the spread at home, plus 8.7. Something like that can get you on the margins. My power rating has Northwestern by 4. My last 4 weeks has Northwestern minus 9. And I've got Northwestern minus 4.46. on the projected stat spread. This thing was 5.5. It's come all the way down to 3.5. Yeah, Northwestern needs this one to get to a bowl game. I'll take the Purple Cats. Give me Northwestern minus 3.5. All right, we move to the Big 12. Oh, yes. Kansas heads to Iowa State. This is another one of those where one team has already made a bowl game, or is already eligible for a bowl game. Kansas needs one more win to get there. So, right now, Iowa State is a 4 to 4.5 point favorite, depending on the book. Total is 54.5 to 55.5. It's 11 a.m. Central Time on FS1. My projected stat spread has Iowa State by 4.6. My power rating has Iowa State by 3.4. And my last 4 weeks has Iowa State minus 8.37. So, this thing was 3.5. It's jumped up to 4, 4.5. Iowa State at home, 2-2-1. Kansas on the road, 2-2. Iowa State, for as much as we talk about that team, 6-5 against the spread over the last two seasons. The home field advantage is not great, right? But they do play a little bit better at home. They do play a little bit better than expected, plus 4.7. Kansas minus 3 against the spread on the road. Very interesting numbers there. Both of these teams inside the top 31 as far as penalties per game. Both of them are outside the top 50 as far as turnover margin. But again, you've got a team that is good at not turning the ball over against a team that is good at getting takeaways. Kansas number 13 in giveaways per game, and Iowa State number 43 in takeaways. Iowa State, number 75 in giveaways per game. Well, Kansas can't force turnovers. They're number 107 in takeaways. What is that going to mean? Kansas, better special teams efficiency here. The Kansas defense is rough, but this Iowa State offense has certainly fallen off. they've lost multiple guys, and they lost some guys on defense as well, but defense is still holding up, which makes sense for a John Heacock defense, or Heacock, excuse me. I never trust Iowa State with these short spreads. Like, maybe I'm crazy, but I think Kansas wants this one more. You look at who can finish drives, etc. Like, Kansas isn't good at finishing drives on offense, but Iowa State is terrible at defending them. On the other side, Kansas, terrible at defending drives. Iowa State, not good at finishing them. On the other side, Kansas' offense, number 30 in points per scoring opportunity. Iowa State's defense, number 19. Who's going to budge? Five factors rank, Kansas State is number 23. Iowa State, number 35. I think Kansas might be just overall a little bit better of a football team. And even though they're on the road, I think they'll hang within this number. I think they could win the game outright. So 4 to 4.5 is crazy. I will take Kansas plus 4.5 on the road here. Look at me betting on these teams to make bowl games. Somebody's going to lose. Somebody's going to lose. Game number 5, Washington State at James Madison. Washington State has traveled all over creation. I mean, just bananas. They put a whooping on Louisiana Tech last week. But James Madison also just put a whooping on App State that, I mean, somebody call off the dogs. I mean, what are we doing? That was gross. Absolutely gross. This thing opened at James Madison minus 12.5. It opened, or it got to 13.5 to 14, depending on the book. Total is 42.5 on this one. It's 12 p.m. Central Time on ESPN Plus for this. So you'll have to have your streamer for this one. James Madison, last 4 weeks, I've got him at 17.5. Power rating, I've got him a little less than 10. And as far as the projected stats spread, I've got James Madison minus 13.5. James Madison is number 14 in PPA margin. They're number 1 in defensive success rate allowed. I mean, every number for them is awesome except for penalties per game. They're number 114 in that. Washington State, number 125 in turnover margin. James Madison is not great at turnover margin. Number 66, you know, number 56 in giveaways, number 69 in takeaways. Washington State cannot generate turnovers. I mean, it's wild. Really, really wild to think about. As far as not allowing teams to score, I mean, you get down in the red zone, Washington State, number 15 in offensive red zone conversion percentage when they have the ball, and they're number 27 in defensive red zone conversion percentage. But you look at five factors rank, James Madison, number 34, number 99 for Washington State. JMU 4-1 against the spread at home. Washington State 3-2 on the road. But I feel like they have caught, maybe it's just Virginia and Ole Miss, but they've caught them in weird spots. James Madison is in one of those positions where you have to win convincingly. I don't think they want to blow out teams. But if you want any chance of getting into the playoff, because, again, the committee did not rank them again tonight, the AP has them up at, like, 21. They were not in the CFP top 25, and that strength of schedule is just going to kill them. Number 119 in current strength of schedule. I think they lay it on here. Washington State back traveling again. So many miles on this team. They've already done way better than you would have imagined. They're 5-5 right now. They've got Oregon State at home next week to be able to get a win and go bowling, which would be a huge, huge accomplishment in Jimmy Rogers' first season. But I don't think they get it done here. Best number I can get is James Madison minus 13.5. Yeah, that's the direction I'm going. Give me JMU minus 13.5 here.
Are you tired of sore knees or joints slowing you down? Ghost Sleeves uses built-in kinesiology tape technology to give you support, reduce pain, and help you recover faster. Use code WCE for 15% off over at ghostleaves.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you haven't already, subscribe to the video, subscribe to the channel, like the video, share it out, tell your friends about it, all that, and of course, jump in the comments. I would certainly appreciate that. Game number 6, we move to the Big 12. Baylor is heading to Arizona. This one at 12 p.m. Central Time, noon on TNT. And Arizona right now a 6.5 to 7 point favorite, depending on the book. Total of 62.5 on this one. It opened Arizona -5.5. It has, of course, jumped up. My projected stat spread has Arizona by 9. My power rating has Arizona -7. My last 4 weeks has Arizona -18. And Baylor has not been playing well. I think that might be putting it mildly. They are 5-5. This is a team that I would imagine really would like to make a bowl game. Dave Aranda got himself off the hot seat last year. This year, nobody has said anything, but man, this isn't the market that you want to be looking for a coach, so he might be safe. But man, they had a lot of hype coming into the year, and the defense, which is Aranda's side of the ball, has not been good. Number 102 in defensive success rate allowed, number 115 in rushing success allowed. Now, part of that could be who they have had to face. But regardless, number 80 in PPA allowed per drive. And, I mean, they're just bad at everything as far as stopping the run. Arizona, they don't run it a ton. Number 97 in rush rate. But teams are running on Arizona over 56% of the defensive snaps that they have to defend. They're number 120 in yards allowed per rush, number 115 in rushing success allowed, number 122 in offensive line yards allowed. And Arizona is better than them by far in all of those metrics. On top of that, Arizona can throw the football some. Number 37 in QBR, Noah Fifita is still a pretty good quarterback, especially when they keep him clean, and Baylor is number 124 in havoc. On the other side, what a shame. What a shame. The thing that Baylor does best, the thing they want to do all the time, they throw the ball almost 59% of the time, number 9 in pass rate. Arizona is number 5 in yards allowed per attempt, number 3 in QBR allowed. They are number 7 in havoc created. They are number 25 in passing explosiveness allowed, number 4 in passing success rate allowed. They defend what Baylor wants to do maybe better than anybody in the Big 12, other than, I guess, Texas Tech, but good gracious. 5 factors rank Arizona number 30, Baylor number 77. Arizona is 4-2 against the spread at home, +6.9. Baylor 1-3 against the spread away from home, -4.1. I think that they just had the number wrong to start with. All of my numbers say to take Arizona, especially at less than a touchdown. I think some people just have a difficult time trusting this team after what we saw last year. But this is a good football team. 7-3 straight up right now. They got a real chance to be a 9-win football team. They got Arizona State next week, but I think they're focused here, and I will take Arizona -6.5 at home. And that's going to move us to the AAC, or I guess the AC, the American Conference. I think they took out the Athletic for whatever reason. Regardless, 2 p.m. Central Time on ESPN Plus, you got South Florida, who just took a devastating loss at Navy last week. They are going to Birmingham. They're going to take on the UAB Blazers, who I foolishly wagered on last week. Not wagered, but picked on the show. Just dumb. USF is favored by 21.5 here on the road, total of 69.5. My numbers like UAB again, for whatever reason, and I can't figure it out. I don't know how they continue to be propped up. I guess it's the offense. I mean, UAB number 52 in offensive success rate, excuse me, number 44 in PPA per drive. They're number 57 in PPA per play, and they run a lot of plays. I mean, they're number 42 in pace of play. But, man, they just don't seem to get it done. Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. Absolutely nuts. Okay. My projected stat spread has South Florida minus 18.7. My power rating has South Florida minus 16.2. And my last 4 weeks has South Florida minus 17. So it's not like the Bulls have been great by any stretch of the imagination. And the losses that they've taken have only been two good teams. Navy, Memphis, Miami. Navy and Memphis were both by 3 points on the road. I mean, South Florida is 2-3 against the spread on the road. But they did absolutely wallop North Texas. So, what does that mean? UAB number 130 in five factors ranked. South Florida is number 29. I mean, this UAB defense is a debacle. Absolute debacle. The total on this is 69.5. Now, my totals are always wrong on these G5 games. I've got to mess with that in the offseason. My total on this is 56.75. I might be looking at a South Florida team total over as opposed to trying to bet the spread. But I look at this. UAB 1-4 against the spread at home. Like, the only time they covered is when they beat Memphis, and that was coming off a bye week. You fired your coach. You completely changed, like, overhauled everything, and Memphis' quarterback got hurt. I mean, other than that, we've seen nothing out of UAB to show me that they can cover a number. So this one, we'll just make it easy. Give me South Florida minus the 21.5. I don't feel great about laying it. I think I kind of like the team total over more. But, yeah, I'll take South Florida. We make picks on this show. So, yeah, that's what we're doing. South Florida minus 21.5. Game number 8, back over to the Big Ten, and we've got Michigan State going to Iowa. This one, 2:30 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone on FS1. And right now, Iowa is a 16.5 to 17-point favorite, depending on the book. The total is 42.5. And none of my numbers have this thing. I mean, it's insane. Michigan State, like, people really thought that they would have a chance against Penn State last week. This Iowa team is better than Penn State, especially at home. Good gracious. My projected stat spread here has Iowa by 20. My power rating has Iowa minus 17.7. My last 4 weeks has Iowa minus 25. And the offense is starting to come along for Iowa. Number 77 in PPA per drive. They're not great at throwing the football, but, you know, I think we've all kind of come to expect that from them. But I do still kind of like their passing attack, even against Michigan State. This Michigan State defense is bad. I mean, they are just bad. But Iowa can run the football. Number 37 in PPA per rush. Michigan State's defense, number 112. Iowa is number 29 in points per scoring opportunity. Michigan State's defense, number 99. So Iowa is going to be able to finish drives against this defense. On the other side, Michigan State's offense, not good. Not good. Number 82 in PPA per pass, number 85 in PPA per rush. Iowa's number 29 and number 32 in those two on defense. And points per scoring opportunity, Michigan State a little bit better there, number 78. But Iowa's number 45 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. And that's going against Oregon and USC, and you know, Penn State, whatever, Indiana. You know, this is, Iowa has played real teams. Anytime Michigan State plays real teams, they get demolished. I mean, it's rough. Iowa, I mean, five factors rank, they are way up there in five factors rank. Something looks off with that. I'll have to check into that. But I've got them number 3 in five factors rank right now. Michigan State, I've got number 108. The 108 makes a little more sense. But man, this is crazy. absolutely insane to look at these numbers. You got to go Iowa here. I mean, Iowa is currently 6-4 straight up. They're 4-2 against the spread at home. Michigan State is 4-0 against the spread on the road, but it's plus 2.5. And some of the numbers have just been outlandish. If I can get it, and right now I can, if I can get it at 16.5, and Kyle Hunter has always told me this, a low total, double-digit spread, you take the dog. It hits it like a 60-some percent clip. But that does still mean that there's almost 40% that do cover, and I think this might be one of them. I don't see Michigan State being able to score here. I will take Iowa, -16.5. Taking a lot of favorites. All right, to the ACC for game number 9, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on the ACC Network. Duke and North Carolina, the Battle of Tobacco Road. Excuse me, or the Battle for Tobacco Road, whatever you want to call it. Normally that's a basketball thing. Here, you got Manny Diaz going up against Bill Belichick. This is interesting. Manny Diaz not holding up his end of the defensive bargain. Number 123 in PPA allowed per drive on defense, and they are terrible against the pass. Lucky for them, North Carolina is atrocious passing the football. I mean, they are really, really bad. Number 128 in passing explosiveness, number 107 in PPA per pass, number 116 in yards per pass attempt. Duke can at least somewhat stop the run. They can slow you down, but they can't stop the pass. On the other side, the North Carolina defense is coming along. They look all right, but, I mean, Duke, like, at number 26 in yards per pass attempt, number 19 in QBR. North Carolina's number 44 and number 57 in those. Duke number 30 in passing success rate. North Carolina number 50. I think Duke is going to be able to throw the football on North Carolina. The issue is, can they hold on to it? Right? Because Duke has had several of these games where they've given the ball away a little much. They're number 56 in giveaways per game. Their biggest culprit, they are number 129 in fumbles lost per rushing attempt. North Carolina's defense is number 47 in fumbles gained per rushing attempt defended. So, can Duke hold on to the football? We shall see. So, this Duke offense going up against North Carolina's pretty good defense, a terrible, abysmal North Carolina offense going up against a terrible Duke defense. What are we going to get here? Duke is 3-2 against the spread on the road. North Carolina 2-3 against the spread at home. I think this ends the bowl hopes for North Carolina. Duke did just suffer a devastating loss against Virginia last week, but they are still in contention and have a bunch of different tiebreakers that can get them to the ACC championship game, even though they are 5-5. It's pretty insane. They need like one more team to lose or two teams to lose, whatever, and it's not crazy to think that it could happen. So, 6.5, I don't think is enough. My projected stat spread on this has Duke -4.26. My power rating has Duke -4.6. My last 4 weeks has North Carolina favored here. I'm going against that. I don't trust North Carolina. They bit me last week. I thought they were going to hang with Wake Forest. I was incorrect. This week, you're not going to catch me doing that. I will take the Blue Devils. Blue Devils as another favorite. So Duke -6.5. Good gracious. To the AAC we go. This one, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN+. Again, you're going to need your streamer. And we got an AAC contender in East Carolina. They are favored on the road at UTSA. East Carolina -2.5, total of 62.5. Let's go ahead and look at these two teams home and away. East Carolina 3-0-1, +15.9 against the spread on the road. UTSA 3-1 against the spread at home, plus 15.3. UTSA is a different beast at home. This number is kind of dead on. My projected stat spread has East Carolina minus 2.7. My power rating has East Carolina by 1. My last 4 weeks has East Carolina minus 3.9. The only issue that I'm seeing is that UTSA's defense cannot stop the pass, and boy, is that Caden Hauser kid good at throwing it. Number 37 in yards per attempt, number 47 in QBR. UTSA's defense, number 114 and number 117. As far as running the football, UTSA can stop that. Number 26 in rushing success allowed, number 32 in rushing success for East Carolina's offense, and East Carolina runs the ball almost 53% of the time. Big problem here is who is going to be able to finish drives. So East Carolina, number 56 in points per scoring opportunity, UTSA's defense, number 133. On the other side, UTSA, number 67 in points per scoring opportunity, East Carolina, number 18 on defense. This East Carolina team, with the three losses that they've got on the season, they've only got one loss in conference, and this team, they're number 94 in current strength of schedule. UTSA is number 65. That could play into it. I think that November air gets a little more thick. It's a little bit harder to breathe. We talked about this before. I think we talked about it with South Carolina and Texas A&M last week. It's just a little bit more difficult. UTSA not playing for a whole lot here. They are 5-5. They got to get to a bowl game. East Carolina has not been in this position in a long, long time. I mean, you went out, you were probably going to the AAC title game. I think UTSA catches them. I'm going to bet big on the Alamo Bowl here, or the Alamo Dome, not the bowl, excuse me. The Alamo Dome gets it done. Give me UTSA. It was 3.5. It's down to 2.5. I'll even roll with the 2.5. Give me UTSA plus 2.5 here.
Stop guessing and start winning. Stochastic provides advanced data and strategies for DFS players and bettors built by pros who know how to find edges. Click the link in the description and sign up today.
If you like these spreadsheets, of course, you can check them out. Buymeacoffee.com/winningcures or the easy URL is bettingcfb.com. But it's $5 a month, $50 for the year. I'm going to be doing them all the way through the playoff, all through the bowl season, all that kind of stuff. And you get my official plays. You get more random stat sheets, all that kind of stuff over there. And you're helping me out. Let's be honest. That's what this is about. Yeah, I don't ask you to do anything as far as paying for the show or whatever else. I mean, that is very simple. Just subscribe to the channel and like the video, and I would appreciate that. But if you would like to support and you want some of these things, because I do them for every single FBS versus FBS matchup every single week, go to buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. Game number 11, back to the AAC, and we are talking about another title contender. Tulane is heading to Temple, this one at 2:45 p.m. Eastern, no, Central, excuse me, 2:45 p.m. Central, God's time zone, on ESPNU. And Tulane is headed to Temple. Tulane is a 7.5 to 8.5 point favorite, depending on the book. Total is 56.5 on this. And Temple, Casey Keeler has been doing some things. They have been pretty good in spots this year. Tulane has not played very well on the road. They are 2-3 against the spread. Probably should not have won that game last week against FAU if you're just looking at success rate and whatnot, but they found a way to get it done. But they are 2-3 against the spread, minus 10.2. Good old Temple, 3-2 against the spread at home, plus 0.1. So Temple is slightly better at home, Tulane slightly worse on the road. My projected stat spread has Tulane by 3. My power rating has Tulane minus 4. My last 4 weeks has Tulane minus 15.41. If you only watched the Memphis game, you would believe that Tulane is a pretty good team as far as a P4 team. They looked fantastic, especially that first half. If you watch the second half, it's a little questionable. You watch the FAU game. You watch the East Carolina game. You watch. There's multiple games this year where Tulane has not looked very good, which is surprising considering they're one of the more talented G5 teams out there. Temple plays way above their head. Defense is not great. Offense is okay. They're not great at running the football. One thing that Tulane has to look out for, they're number 104 in yards allowed per pass attempt, number 106 in QBR allowed. Tulane 63 and 29 in those metrics on offense. Tulane is number 12 in points per scoring opportunity. Tulane's defense is number 75 on that. So Temple, number 12, Tulane 75 when Temple has the football. The problem there is that Temple is number 121 in scoring opportunities per game. That's when you get a first down inside the opponent 40. And they don't get down there very often. But when they do, they certainly capitalize, it looks like. Both of these teams are inside the top 50 as far as special teams is concerned. The Green Wave's offense, I think, is just going to run the football at will here. They're number 86 in rush rate, or sorry, number 86 in rushing success rate. They're number 38 in yards per rush. Temple is number 120 in yards allowed per rush, number 124 in rushing success allowed. So Tulane probably going to be able to do whatever they want to. This Temple team is 5-5. They need a win to get to a bowl game in KC Keeler's first season. I don't think anybody really expected that. Temple is number 5 in turnover margin. Tulane, number 27. Tulane, number 126 in penalties per game. And they are number, Temple is number 18 in penalties per game. So Temple, the much more disciplined football team, both of them are outside the top 98 as far as pace of play, so this will be a slow game, especially if Tulane is going to run the football. I think Temple can throw it on them a little bit, make them uncomfortable. This number is kind of crazy. But again, it's November. You've got a team going on the road. I don't see it with this Tulane team. Now, would it surprise me if they decided to blow out Temple? No, because there's a massive talent advantage for the Green Wave. But I'm going the opposite way. I'll take KC Keeler as a dog. Over time, that has just worked out really, really well for me. So Temple plus 8.5. If this thing ends up hitting double digits, yeah, that'll end up being a best bet for me. Of course, you can find out whether or not it does over at buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. Let's move on to the Big 12. And Kansas State is hosting Utah. Sorry, that's the other way around. Utah is hosting Kansas State. Good gracious. The Wildcats get to go on the road to Salt Lake, which has been devastating for everybody not named Texas Tech. These numbers for Utah, number 4 in PPA margin, number 10 in offensive success rate, number 13 defensive success rate. This team is outrageous. And yet they've got two losses on the season. Kansas State, looking for a bowl game. They have not played well. They are 5-5. They are 2-2 against the spread on the road, plus 3.1. Utah at home, 4-1 against the spread, plus 11.6. Man, just insane to think about. Kansas State, still pretty good on defense. The number on this, by the way, Utah favored at home by 17.5. Total is 52.5 to 53.5. It's 3 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. And this one, I mean, the Utah offense, I think, is going to be able to move the football running it on this Kansas State defense. Kansas State, number 19 in offensive line yards allowed, number 44 in stuff rate. Utah is number 3 and number 8 in those on offense. I mean, Utah's number 3 in PPA per rush. Kansas State is number 55. That ain't good. You know, Kansas State is still pretty good along the lines of scrimmage. I've been shocked at this team. On the other side of the ball, both of them, by the way, outside the top 60 as far as special teams efficiency is concerned. Turnover margin, Utah number 38. Kansas State is number 8, but they're number 83 in giveaways per game, number 3 in takeaways. So if Utah doesn't turn the ball over, this could get tricky for the Wildcats. Penalties per game, Kansas State is number 2. Utah is number 64. And if we're looking at five factors rank, Utah number 15 and Kansas State number 55, I'm not seeing it. Projected stat spread has Utah by 20.5. Last 4 weeks has Utah minus 29. My power rating has Utah minus about 15. The projected stat spread, though, is much closer to what the actual spread is. But it's going over. Utah at home, I ain't betting against that right now. So I'll take another big favorite. I will take Utah minus 17.5. I think they kind of lay the wood here. Game number 13 to the Big Ten we go. Maryland hosting Michigan. This one at 3 p.m. Central Time on the Big Ten Network. Right now, Michigan is a 13.5 to 14-point road favorite. Total of 45.5 on this one. And Maryland, once again, has just completely fallen apart. They started off 4-0. They have lost six straight. They are decent in the first half against teams, and then they just completely fall apart in the second half. I mean, it's been rough. They are 3-3 against the spread at home, but minus 1.3 average margin against the spread. Michigan 1-4 against the spread on the road, minus 5.8. So they rarely cover these two touchdown spreads for whatever reason. Let's start off with this. The projected stat spread has Michigan by 9.5. My power rating has Michigan by 9.1. The last 4 weeks has Michigan minus 22. Michigan gave away five turnovers last week and still won the game at Northwestern. Did they cover? No. But all in all, this is still a pretty good football team. Number 26 in PPA margin. They're number 26 in offensive success rate. Defense, not great, especially against the pass. They're number 60 in defensive success rate. Number 89 in passing success allowed, so that's not good. But this Maryland offense has been just bad all year. They throw the ball almost 59% of the time, but they're number 125 in yards per attempt, number 122 in QBR, number 97 in passing explosiveness. They are number 52 in passing success rate. But, man, Michigan number 45 in passing explosiveness. They're number 27 in havoc created. Yeah. And when Maryland tries to run the football, I mean, they are not going to be able to do it against this Michigan front at all. Michigan number 24 in offensive line yards allowed. Maryland is number 104. I just don't see them being able to do a whole lot on offense. On the other side of the ball, the Maryland defense is okay. But they're not going to be able to stop this rushing attack. Number 108 in offensive line yards allowed. Number 114 in stuff rate. Michigan is number 12 and number 3 in those on offense. Michigan number 89 in points per scoring opportunity. Maryland is number 29. But the difference there is that Michigan averages 7.44 drives per game that they get a scoring opportunity. That's a first down inside the opponent 40. And Maryland number 103. In scoring opportunities allowed per game. So they give up almost seven drives per game. So they are really bad at that. Michigan could kick enough field goals in this game to be able to cover 13.5, I think. Maryland has already said that... I mean, they've already said that Locksley's coming back. But I don't know if that, like, spruces them up. I don't know if Maryland plays better at home or whether I should trust Michigan. I wouldn't trust either one of these teams. Michigan laying points is terrifying. I mean, just terrifying. Especially the week before the Ohio State game. I will look at it this way. I don't think they care at all about this game. And they could still end up covering the spread. Because I think they'll just run it. But I think they're going to be very focused on Ohio State next week. Even though they don't cover spreads very much on the road, they also don't cover them at home either. So, what we're going to do here is we're going to take Maryland plus the 14 and just hope that this thing ends like 20-7, which you could totally see with this Michigan team. Like, they're not going to do anything crazy. They're not going to get anybody hurt. They are focused on the game next week. I'll take Maryland plus 14. All right. We're going to stay in the Big Ten. This one had all the promise. Like, they booked this at the end of the season for a reason. This was going to be a big one. Nebraska going to Penn State. 6 p.m. Central on NBC. Penn State right now favored by 9.5. Total of 43.5 to 44.5. Take a drink, make sure I'm ready. Penn State is number 43 in PPA margin. Nebraska is number 37. Nebraska cannot stop the run. That is what Penn State does best, and it's what they do the most. They run it almost 55% of the time. They're number 31 in PPA per rush. Nebraska's defensive line, number 122 in PPA allowed per rush. Nebraska is pretty good against the pass. The problem is that Penn State is not going to do that very often, especially with a young quarterback. Now, as far as points per scoring opportunity, Penn State number 32 in points per scoring opportunity. Nebraska, their defense is number 74. Penn State, surprisingly, number 5 in special teams efficiency, and it has not been able to get them very many wins. Penn State is still alive to make a bowl game. And you saw that on full display when they absolutely took Michigan State behind the woodshed last week. Both of these teams inside the top 51 as far as turnover margin, both of them inside the top 12 as far as penalties per game. Surprising. Surprising. This Nebraska offense, you can't really look at these numbers anymore because Dylan Raiola is out for the rest of the year. The backup quarterback looked okay against UCLA. I just think that's going to be difficult to duplicate against Penn State, especially in Happy Valley, when this team is motivated. They would like to get to a bowl game. I think that Penn State is actually playing all right. And 9.5, you know, my projected stat spread has Penn State minus 5.44. Power rating has Penn State minus 7.4. Last 4 weeks has Nebraska minus 5.5. But I ain't trusting it because Dylan Raiola is not there. This is the first real road environment for Nebraska's quarterback. I'll take Penn State here. I think they got some things cooking. I think Nebraska is not very good without Raiola. Give me the Nittany Lions, minus 9.5 at home. And we are going to stay in the Big Ten. You can tell it's late on Tuesday night, can't you? Good gracious. All right, game 15, Illinois at Wisconsin. This one, 6:30 p.m. Central Time on the Big Ten Network. Illinois favored by 7.5 to 8.5 here. Total of 40.5 on this one. That has come down from the 42.5. Illinois was a 9.5-point favorite. That has come down. Very interesting spot. Wisconsin has been playing better. My projected stat spread has Illinois by 8.5. Power rating Illinois by 8. Last 4 weeks has Illinois by 9.16. And yet the number's coming down because Wisconsin has been playing pretty good. They are 2-4 against the spread at home. Illinois 2-2 against the spread on the road. Both of them worse against the expected number by at least a touchdown in this spot. However, Wisconsin has been playing better as of late. The defense is pretty good against the run, but my God, are they terrible against the pass. I mean, holy mackerel. This could be a rout because even though it's at Camp Randall and Wisconsin has been playing better, they are still really bad against the pass. Number 121 in havoc created. They're number 118 in PPA allowed per pass. Illinois is number 14. For whatever reason, people are just totally buying in on this, you know, new birth and new life and this youth movement and whatnot. Illinois is number 4 in special teams efficiency. Wisconsin, number 111. Wisconsin doesn't do really anything good, and they can't score points. And if you can't score points, you're not going to be able to keep up with Altmyer because they're going to score. They are number 18 in points per scoring opportunity, number 46 in scoring opportunities per game. Wisconsin's defense, number 42 in points per scoring opportunity allowed. number 81 in scoring opportunities allowed per game. On the other side, Wisconsin 135 in points per scoring opportunity. Even though Illinois is number 122 there, this Illinois defense is not good. Wisconsin makes it look difficult against air. So I'm not buying the hype. I'm not buying the renaissance here. I will take Illinois. Like I think that they are still fully bought in here. I think they continue the winning ways. The best number I can get is 7.5. I'm going against the market. Give me Illinois, -7.5.
Why struggle doing everything yourself? On Fiverr, you can hire professionals for just about anything. Marketing, editing, design, and more. Save time, get it done right. Click the link in the description to get started.
Game number 16. And let me go on and tell you, subscribe to the channel, like the video, jump in the comments. Check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. But game number 16, ACC Network, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Cal is going to Stanford. And what an interesting spot here. This thing was Cal -2.5. It's out to 3.5 in some spots. Total of 49.5 on this one. My projected stat spread has Cal by 2.9, so almost 3. My power rating has Cal -1.7. And man, the last 4 weeks, it would have Stanford favored by 2. It's very, very intriguing looking at this. Stanford is number 126 in PPA margin. Cal number 89. And Cal is already 6-4. They got a chance to hit 7 wins here. And then next week, a chance to hit 8. I mean, it's just, it's remarkable. When Cal is on offense, they cannot run the football. And they don't try to run the football. They're number 128 in rush rate. They rush it only about 40% of the time. That's about the only thing that Stanford is good at defending. Throwing the football, it's hit or miss, right? They throw it almost 60% of the time, which I would too if I had JKS. Number 60 in passing success rate. Number 27 in passing explosiveness. Stanford is number 100 and number 112 in those. So, not great. I think Cal is going to have success throwing the football. On the other side, Stanford can't run it. They try and throw it. They are number 28 in pass rate. But they're number 110 in QBR. Cal's defense is number 27. They're number 80 in yards per pass attempt. Cal's defense is number 25. They're number 116 in havoc allowed. And Cal's defense is number 43. Points per scoring opportunity, Stanford number 126, Cal's defense number 52. This is a Justin Wilcox defense, is what it is. Stanford number 100 in special teams efficiency, Cal is number 78. Five factors rank, Cal number 92, Stanford number 125. I'm not sure why the number is spitting out less than 3, but I think that Cal is the significantly better team here. Stanford has been playing better as of late. They still cannot score, and that could be a problem against Brian Harsin and Nick Rolovich's defense. Sorry, offense, especially with JKS. So, yes, you can still get a 3. I would roll with it. Give me Cal -3 in this one. Back to the AAC, where we got another title contender, North Texas, another one of those teams that's ranked up there. And, you know, their current strength of schedule is bad, but you get some pretty good wins in the AAC, especially if you win the title game. So, North Texas going to Rice, and this one, again, 6:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPNU. North Texas is favored by 18.5, total of 55.5 on this one. My numbers, for whatever reason, are never high enough on North Texas. Never high enough. Last 4 weeks, I would have North Texas favored by 11.34. Power rating would have North Texas -12.9. Projected stat spread would have North Texas -14.55. This thing was 17.5. It's gone up to 18.5. North Texas, their offense is just incredible. Overall, number 8 in offensive success rate. They're number 9 in PPA per drive. They are number 3 in points per scoring opportunity. You look at offensive red zone conversion percentage, they're number 7 in offensive red zone touchdown rate. They are number 1 in offensive red zone appearances per game, number 12 in conversion percentage. They are, and the reason for that, they're number 66 in special teams efficiency. So they're not great at hitting the field goals. But man, they do everything right on offense. And this Rice defense is okay, but they're not great. They're better at stopping the run. The issue for them is that North Texas is elite throwing the football. That Mestemaker kid is unbelievable. North Texas number 38 in 5 factors. Rice is number 111. And when Rice is on offense, I mean, they run the ball almost 73% of the time. This is a triple attack. The problem is that they're number 83 in yards per rush, number 114 in rushing success rate, number 105 in offensive line yards, number 97 in stuff rate allowed. Like, they're not great at it, and even though North Texas is not good at defending it, Rice can still get in their own way. I've gotten burned on this North Texas team so many times. They're 3-1 against the spread on the road this year, plus 3.8. Rice at home, 2-4 against the spread, minus 3.4. They actually cover better when they're on the road. So Rice is still fighting for a bowl game, yes. But this is not the team to be doing that against. They are not good at stopping anybody. I mean, they are this late in the season, they are giving up 100% of red zone conversions. They haven't gotten a team to miss a field goal. They have not gotten a turnover in the red zone. Nothing. They're number 129 in takeaways per game. North Texas is number 3 in takeaways per game. This could be a problem. And I've got to go with Rice. I mean, I've got to go with North Texas here. This team scores so much that it's just easier to handle spreads that are not up to 3 touchdowns, especially against weaker competition. And this Rice team is not that talented. And North Texas never takes their foot off the gas, like ever. So I'll go with another favorite here. I will take North Texas minus 18.5. To the Big 12 at 7 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone on ESPN2. And Arizona State traveling over to Boulder against a Colorado team that sometimes it looks like they've just quit. Sometimes it doesn't. I don't know what to make of this team. Arizona State's favored by 6.5 to 7, depending on the book. Total is 48.5 to 49. Again, depending on whichever book you get it at. Arizona State is, they've got to entice Sam Leavitt to stay because apparently he is looking at the transfer portal. And as goofy as this is, they've got a pretty easy road to finish the season. If BYU gets upset again, Arizona State, if they went out, would have tiebreakers and would go to the Big 12 championship game over BYU, over Utah. How does that... None of it makes sense. None of it makes sense to me at all. I mean, it's just insane to look at. This team is 7-3. They are 2-2 against the spread away from home. They are 3-2. Colorado is 3-2-1 against the spread at home, minus 2.6. So neither team is great when they're put in this situation. This is what I'm talking about. Like, Arizona State has kind of hovered in the 70s in PPA margin all year. Now, they are number 30 in current strength of schedule. How this team beat Texas Tech, I will never know. It makes no sense to me. And yet, do it to it is what it is. They are, apparently Jordan Tyson is going to be back this week, or there's a chance of that. And on top of that, like, it's, Sam Leavitt's still hurt. You can have a Jeff Sims game at any point. I mean, this dude was the king of the turnovers. And yet, he's done a pretty good job this year. They're number 10 in interceptions thrown per pass attempt. even if they tried to throw interceptions, it'd be hard for Colorado to get them. They're number 105 in interceptions gained per pass attempt, number 76 in fumbles gained per rushing attempt defended, and Arizona State just doesn't turn the ball over much, number 13 in giveaways per game. Colorado is number 101 in turnover margin overall. Arizona State, number 38. Arizona State is number 135 in penalties per game. Colorado, number 57. As far as being able to finish drives, this Arizona State offense, number 106 in finishing drives, but they are number 20 in scoring opportunities per game. Colorado's defense, number 91 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. On the other side, Colorado, 57th in points per scoring opportunity, but they are number 131 in scoring opportunities per game. Arizona State is number 77 in points allowed per scoring opportunity, but they are number 44 in defensive red zone touchdown rate. So they can defend, like they can keep you out of the end zone once you get down there. Five factors rank, this Arizona State team is number 83. I mean, that's just bonkers to look at. I look at this and I am perplexed. Because, yeah, Arizona State's going on the road. And, yeah, all of these numbers are lower. The projected stat spread has Arizona State minus 4.16. My power rating has Arizona State a little less than 5. Last 4 weeks, Arizona State minus 17.77. Dillingham has figured out how to use Jeff Sims. And that should terrify everybody. I mean, this is... Arizona State's defense is really good. They're number 14 in havoc created. And Colorado's offense is number 131 in havoc allowed. Even at home, there's a chance that Arizona State just boat races this bunch. So with this thing being, you know, it went from 8.5 down to 6.5. Like, it's moving the opposite direction. I'm going to trust Arizona State here. They've got a legit chance to go play for the Big 12 title again. So I don't think you're going to catch them sleepwalking, anything like that. Even with this being like a Pac-12 after dark game, I still believe that Arizona State is going to get this done. So I will take another favorite. That's terrifying. Give me Arizona State minus 6.5 there. And then finally, our last game of the week, at least the one that we are going to cover. Utah State heads to Fresno State, 9:30 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone, on CBS Sports Network. Fresno is a 2.5 to 3 point favorite, depending on the book. Total is 50.5 to 51.5, depending on the book. Utah State. This is strength on strength, weakness on weakness, right? Utah State, number 42 in PPA per drive on offense. Fresno is number 48 on defense. Fresno's offense, number 107 in PPA per drive on offense. Utah State's defense, number 103. Who breaks first? That's the question here. My stats projected spread has Fresno by 3.07. Power rating has Fresno by 3.3. Last 4 weeks has Fresno by 3.75. But look at the strength of schedule. Utah State, number 63. Fresno, number 115. You look at five factors, number 70 and number 71. You look at... I mean, both of these teams cover in this spot. Utah State is minus 3.6, but they are 3-2. Fresno is 3-2, and they are plus 5.3. Bronco Mendenhall needing a win to get to a bowl game. Almost got it at UNLV last week. Now they're on the road against Fresno, and a Fresno team that cannot score, but a Fresno team that plays pretty good defense. Fresno's already bowl eligible. I'm curious about this passing attack for Utah State, what they're going to look like against Fresno's defense. Points per scoring opportunity, Utah State is number 8. Fresno's defense is number 73. Both of these, by the way, number 98 and number 110 in special teams efficiency, so not good there. Turnover margin, Utah State is number 27, Fresno number 62. Fresno turns the ball over a lot. A lot. Penalties per game, they're both outside the top 85. Utah State is number 121, Fresno 88. And this defense for Utah State is rough. But, man, that Fresno offense just doesn't appear they can do a whole lot of anything. They are number 76 in points per game, 25.9 points per game. This has the feel of Broncos big bad boys getting it done. So the fact that I've got a 3 at this point, I know that all of my numbers have Fresno by a little over 3. I trust that Utah State offense to be able to score on Fresno. Even with as bad as Utah State's defense is, I don't necessarily feel the same about Fresno's offense. And the turnover variance could certainly go Utah State's way. I'm going to take the Aggies. Give me Bronco Mendenhall. I trust him more as a coach in this situation. I think Utah State gets it done, so I will take the 3 there. Utah State plus 3 on the road. All right, let's recap it here. We got 19 of them. Rutgers plus 31 and a half, excuse me. Miami plus, no, minus 17 and a half. Boy, I didn't write very well, did I? Miami minus 17 and a half. Northwestern minus 3.5, Kansas plus 4.5, James Madison minus 13.5, Arizona minus 6.5, South Florida minus 21.5, Iowa minus 16.5, Duke minus 6.5, UTSA plus 2.5, Temple plus 8.5, Utah minus 17.5, Maryland plus 14, Penn State minus 9.5, Illinois minus 7.5, Cal minus 3, North Texas minus 18.5, Arizona State minus 6.5, and Utah State plus 3. That does not feel good. I will tell you that. That's a lot of favorites. A whole lot of favorites. But, I mean, we're talking about bad football teams here. So, if we're betting on good football teams against bad football teams, I don't feel so bad about that. Do y'all? Let me know in the comments. Tell me what you think. All right. Let's go wrap things up. It's almost midnight. I still got to edit this thing. We got one more week of the regular season after this, and that is going to wrap it up. Take care of yourself. No. Go to bettingcfb.com. Subscribe to the channel, like the video, and jump in the comments. I would certainly appreciate that. With that said, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Subscribe, leave a review or comment, follow @GaryWCE on X, and check out the web store,